True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Keeping the play low in the Ottawa zone. Good movement here. Samuelson shot. Allmark doesn't know where it is. Scores! Alex Tuck found it while Linus couldn't find it.
Behind the goal, Quinn traps it. Met immediately, trying to just shove Chabot away, and he does. Quinn out of the corner. Dahlin with a blast. Scores! Rasmus Dahlin! J.J. Paterka, Tage Thompson. He's making a lane. Thompson dishes off. Scores! What a return feed from Paterka as Tage Thompson buries it. That was beautiful. Puck is stolen here by Peyton Krebs, who walks in and fires. Scores! Peyton Krebs! Dylan Cousins behind the net center. Sabres able to clear it down the ice, and this will be an empty net goal. McLeod, 5-2, your final score. The Sabres sweep the Ottawa Senators in this regular season series.
That they did. And then that opens up a whole other topic. Welcome into Sabres Live. As we could look at divisional play this year, many other results this year, the missed opportunity that everyone is talking about in Ottawa as far as their chances against Buffalo. But it always cuts both ways, Marty Baron. And we spent a little bit of time on the postgame show last night looking at how Montreal somehow swept the Florida Panthers in the season series. And that was on the heels of Buffalo sweeping the Sens. And the division itself, it has kind of felt like this to me from, you know, not diving in too deep. But then because of those results last night, I felt, okay, I got to confirm what I'm thinking here. And wouldn't you know, by far the best team within the Atlantic in head-to-head meetings this year, the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
They are 16-6 against the division. Toronto's okay. Most of the teams are 500 or lower. And unfortunately, the Sabres have the fewest wins against their own division with 8, and 4 of them coming against the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah. So, you know, playing inside your division is always important, number one, because I feel like I'm from an old school mentality where you had to get out of your division before you could get anywhere else. Mm-hmm. I even played 8 games against your own division the first 3 years after the lockout, 05, 06, 06, 07, 07, 08. You would play 8 games against your own division. I mean, that was half your season right there. Mm-hmm. So my mind is always set to the rivalry inside the divisions are so important. But the Sabres have responded against Ottawa. And it also proves when you watch that, well, Montreal has swept a series against Florida, Buffalo has swept it against Ottawa. Like, it doesn't matter where you are in the standings. You can always take 3 or 4 games somewhere in your season and say, hey, you know what? We played well that game. But it's how do you consistently play that way? You know, sometimes the schedule just happens that you play a game early November, late December, and early February, and you're like, well, those were 3 good games. Okay, yep. What about the rest of them? What about the rest of your games? What about the consistency of your play. And so that's the difference here. Like early in the season, Montreal wasn't consistent at all.
But they still have this record. That's the weird thing.
But they flipped it probably around Christmas. And if you can flip it around Christmas.
Over the cliff again.
Remember? Yeah, but they were getting points. They lose four in a row, but they were 0-2-2. And then they were still getting points. And when they've gotten hot, they've gotten hot. That's the consistent part of it. And we talked about Ottawa was a game over 500 January, 9th? Mm-hmm. So they've been able to flip the switch at some point. That's something that inside the division, depending on when you play the teams in your division, could go your way or not your way.
Yeah. They did lose 8 out of 9, Montreal.
But how many points did they pick up?
One. They were 1-7-1.
When was that?
Right before Four Nations. Because we had Dreger on, and I said, well, the season's pretty much over, right? And he's like, yeah, sure looks like it.
Yeah, because they went 16-1-2 or something to that effect, or 16-2-1.
Yeah, they fell below 500 in the final game before Four Nations. And since then, they have gone 10-4-4.
Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah, they were 6 points up on Buffalo before, at the Four Nations break, right? When you look at it. Now, we talked about Boston's quick drop. Like, Boston was 1 point back of Detroit and 2 points back of Ottawa at the Four Nations faceoff. So, Boston's gone the other way. And if you're now playing Boston, well, maybe you get the benefit of saying, hey, we're playing them in a bad time of the year. Earlier in the year, it was a different story. Boston was getting at least a close to a 500 record for the better part of the season.
So I guess, is there a takeaway from last night amidst I'm going to assume that a lot of fans feel exactly how many of the players are, especially Tate, because he's trying to put every single answer into context here.
Yeah.
Well, we knew with 20 games left, this was likely our fate. He's pretty much saying that every time. And that's fair and proper, and I appreciate it, right? Because it's hard to get too far ahead right now based on the recent results, because the players know the situation that they created. I will say this, though, based on following, the reality here for the last while, I couldn't help but look at the standings today and go, 3 more wins at any time would have them within 3 points with 8 games to go.
No, that's
100%. Who doesn't sign up for that right now?
Yeah, so, and then it goes back to the 13-game losing streak, right? Because you put that in. If you go, they went 0-10-3 in those 13 games. If you go 3-7-3, it's not a good stretch. But it's a lot better than 0-10-3. And yes, you'd be sitting at 76. You'd be just a point back of the Rangers, a point back of Columbus, 3 of Montreal. And that's the biggest thing. But I guess a lot of people are saying, garbage time. And I get the optics. It happens a lot, right? That teams that are out, every sport, every year. But there's also teams that start up really quick and don't maintain it. So what do you call that? You can't call that appetizer time, because it was early in the meal. That's the way. I never felt like I played a game less prepared or more prepared because of the time of the year. I always felt like the game's the game. I'm preparing. I'm getting ready. So there wasn't, and yes, my year with the Islanders, I talked about it, was 2-7-2. I think I finished the season 7-1-1, something like that. But I also was maybe in a better place mentally because of my early struggles. And then I decided I don't want to think about my early struggles. But I knew I had to play well because of a contract, because of my future, because of my career, all of that. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the Sabres right now, there was time this year where we're like, the offense is clicking, can't keep it out of your net, or defensively they're not playing as well, or special teams are not performing. There's been a lot of different storylines, but these storylines are everywhere. There's teams that are in the playoff spot right now that at times they were not keeping the puck out of their net or whatnot. What's the difference now is I feel that you're getting consistent, better play defensively and consistent goaltending with Reimer. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the one thing that we've learned. Like Tage Thompson is not on a better goal per game or points per game rate right now that he was earlier in the year. Like, does he picked it up a little bit, but it's similar.
Yeah.
So is Alex Tuch. So is JJ Paterka. The only one is maybe Jack Quinn. Say, well, Jack Quinn is better now than he was early in the year. Okay.
McLeod's pretty hot now, too.
McLeod is hot, too. They go hand in hand. McLeod and Quinn are playing together. But I think overall, pretty much your top guys are still at the same rate. The difference is that you're not losing game 5-4. Mm-hmm. You're 4-2 going into the last couple of minutes of the game, and you win 5-2 in an empty net. Yeah. That's what is the difference right now. So that's the one thing to take out of this is that it has been a struggle for the Sabres defensively the last few years. Putting it together with Craig Anderson and, you know, Michael Hauser playing some game and Dustin Tokarski.
But not last year, though. I mean,
yeah, but remember, not last year in the second half. Yes.
Right, but they've still finished tied for 11th last year in goals against. Like, to me, that was a pretty significant accomplishment.
And again, if UPL is going to play at that rate, mm-hmm. the Sabres are in a different place right now.
Right.
Like it comes out, and I don't want to put it all on one guy's shoulder.
No, of course, because you've put
his,
out
his
incredible...
expectations were high. Like he had a second in goal save above expectation in the second half of the year last year. Like second. That's how high the expectation. I'm not asking him to be second.
Yeah.
I'm asking him to be top 15, top 20, maybe, not 52nd, not 63rd. Right. And that's the difference. And maybe that alone maybe makes a difference. Look, Boston can point the finger at Jeremy Swayman and say, hey, you know what? We gave him a big contract. He's not playing. Okay. Well, there was a lot of different, you know, situations around the signing and the team and, you know, him, and maybe he wasn't prepared and he got a bad year. Well, next year, if Jeremy Swayman gives them the same type of goaltending that they have right now, they're not going to be going anywhere. That's the way it is.
Yeah, I mean, the Bruins issues are many. I will always start and almost end with the absence of their top two defensemen. You know, McAvoy did play a chunk of the season, but, you know, beyond that, people question the roster construction with the Lindholm signing. And now, I mean, I wouldn't even look at Swayman as the turning point for next year. Like, they need to overhaul half that roster. You know,
But again, like you give yourself a chance if Swayman is back to where it needs to be.
Yeah, because
Toronto first in the Atlantic if they don't have to play by Stolarz and Wohl this year.
Well, that's
put Ilya Samsonov in net or Jack Campbell in net. It's going to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to bring up Toronto because with this continued offensive push from the Sabres, 32 goals in the last six games. Buffalo is now tied for 7th in the NHL in goals for per game. They are tied with Carolina and the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
And they are just behind the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, well, scoring is good. Man, let's bring up that clip of when I asked Shayna if the Sabres could... I projected the Sabres to be a top 5 scoring team in the NHL this year.
You're getting
They're
close.
7th right now.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it goes to the same point as, look, yesterday we spent a lot of time talking about, you know, analytics, defensive analytics, what makes the Ottawa Senators in a playoff spot, and really to a certain extent, what makes the Montreal Canadiens in a playoff spot? Like, Samuel Montembeau got up to top 5 in goal save above expectation. Look, his raw numbers aren't, like, wowing anybody, but he got up to top 5. Now he's dropped off a little bit because he had a couple of tough games, but you watch his game yesterday. If it's not for Samuel Montembeau against Florida, they're probably not in a position to score with 10 seconds left. He made two or three really big saves and kept it at 2 against Florida, and they get back. Suzuki gets a lucky bounce, and he scores an OT. Well,
the best clutch scorers get those bounces, and Nick Suzuki has been 100% that this year. I would say He would be on the podium that has Leon Draisaitl in first, like when it comes to clutch goals. Like Suzuki has, and it's not always scoring, but look at the overtime assists he has this year. Yeah. Like it's, he is everything to this team. He allows all the others to have the years that they're having. This Slavkovskis, Cole Caulfield, Patrick Laine on the power play.
Like Lane Hutson is Hutson throws a meaningless puck to the net
here in the final 2 weeks. It's ridiculous.
But Lane Hutson, so first of all, the Canadians couldn't even get their goalie out at the end of the game. So they pulled the goalie. There was a face-off in their zone. They have the goalie back in. It's with 15 seconds left in the game that they pulled Montembeau. And you can hear the announcer, well, the Canadians finally get their goalie out. And then Hutson throws a puck at the net that goes through Sam Reinhart. It goes to Suzuki. Like, how many times have we, like, watch games and are like, man, they can't get their goalie out and they lose, right? Well, the Canadians got a lucky bounce, but Suzuki is clutch. Hutson is clutch. It makes a big difference in the way that the Canadians are playing. But again, I'll go back to what gave the Montreal Canadiens their turnaround right before Christmas or right after Christmas. Jakub Dobesh played a game in Florida, and all of a sudden it allowed Montreal and Sam Montembeau to be like, oh, we're getting
it. But he also can't win now. This is all on Montembeau. Dobesh has been really, really, really underwhelming in the last nine games.
He's been having a tough one. And against the Flyers last weekend when they lost 6-4 was not good. But it allowed Montembeau to turn around and get himself going. But now one of the key, I mean, in Montreal, they talk about Suzuki, Caulfield, Hutson, all the time. Now Gouley's back. They talk about that all the time. I think Montembeau is a big reason for where they are because their defensive zone coverage was awful. They were giving up tons of goals, tons of chances, and now he's made a difference. And it maybe is too simple, but would Washington be where they are if they didn't get the goaltending from Thompson and Lindgren this year, right? Like, and we saw they lost three in a row, and they had some tough goaltending.
Charlie's numbers aren't stunning. They're just nicely consistent with the overall team. And I'll say this without fact-checking, but I don't think any team in the league remade 33% of their defense corps better than what Washington did in the acquisitions of Chychrun and Matt Roy. Yeah, like they ended up fitting perfectly for this team.
The season of Wilson, Dubois, McMichael, like it's great. Like they've been able to really, Strome's having an unbelievable year. I mean, even yesterday post game, he's doing an interview. He's got a cut in his, you know, like he's been playing incredible. Yeah. But I look around the league, and I'm like, well, Nashville is not getting goaltending this year. Well, they are where they are because of that. Mm-hmm. Look, it's a team game, but if you're not getting goaltending, you are not going to go anywhere. There's a tape, Duffer, an old, you know, cassette tape with a VHS and a VCR. It was this goalie training thing that I listened to when I was a kid. It was in French. It was a reporter from the Journal de Québec, the Quebec newspaper, that put it together. And his opening line was, without adequate, he didn't say excellent or whatever, without adequate goaltending, a good and great team will never be able to win at all. Like, that was the line. That's the line, and I still remember. It was in French, but I still remember. And, you know, is it Scotty Bowman that says, goaltending is, you know, 50% of the game when you have it, and 99% of the game is when you don't. Like a lot of time it's too simple, but it comes down to that.
Well, it's interesting where you drew the comparison to Montreal and suggested that in a small window, Dobesh was able to give Montembeau a reset. Mm-hmm. We're potentially or could have potentially been seeing that now with Reimer's 5-game winning streak. And had it happened 2 months ago, what could that have meant to a reset, if needed, for Luukkonen?
Yeah.
But the other part of it, ironically, based on all the numbers we just rolled out on the offense, was that it was not very long ago where James Reimer, no matter how well he played, could not get this team a win because they would not score for him. Yeah. So it's, oh my goodness.
He's getting the worst goal support in the league. Right? Exactly. Yeah. It's like we, you know, trying to juggle all these stats and all these analysis and try to, you know, put them in order and put them in the right spot.
Yeah.
But I felt like yesterday's game against Ottawa was very much what we discussed on the show yesterday afternoon. A lot of it has to come with, you know, good goaltending. And look, Reimer outplayed Allmark. There's no denying it. On Thompson being, you know, the force offensively, Tuck being the force offensively, Peterka, like that, Dahlin, like that's really what this team is built like. Mm-hmm. You have your heavy top gunners. And when they perform, well, they're going to score. As long as you get some saves, you're going to win those games.
Quite a night in the NHL last night. Ovi scores again.
Yeah.
He needs four. And he's right back at it tonight. This is amazing. Like, there aren't many back-to-backs left for the Capitals, obviously. But tonight is one of them. So, national stage, television-wise, they are in Carolina. Obviously, one could easily assume, and they would be right, that Carolina is one of the top five most victimized teams because they've always been a division rival. So it's
the Southeast division.
Yeah. I mean, the Southeast is where it all started.
Man, and like even when Washington, the 1 year made the playoffs, nobody else in the Southeast made the playoffs because there was, it was Tampa, it was Florida, they were bad. It was Atlanta, it was Carolina.
They were all gunning for the 3 seed in the East, remember?
That's what it was. It was, let's win third place. That's literally what it was. Like the Flint Tropics. That's when third place or fourth place or whatever it was.
So, but what do you think? Like, obviously, Carolina's about as tight defensively as far as what they allow shots-wise, but their save percentage isn't great, and Ovi's shooting percentage is elite, and he just, you know, he's scored in back-to-back games right now. So, like, how fun is this?
Well, it is a lot of fun. Now, Ovi's Ovi's career goal rate is a 0.60. This year, he's at 0.66, mm-hmm. like goals per game. It's incredible that he's, you know what, 20 years into his career, you know, and he is having a better goals per game rate than his average over his career. In a year where he broke his leg, mm-hmm. he's still producing, like, most people are like, I broke my leg. I'll come back, but I'm not going to be the same player I was. No, Ovi's like, you know what? I'll come back and I'll be better than I was when I was 25 years old and on. Like, it's incredible the goals per rate pace that he's been able to put up this year at 39.
He moved past Gordy last night for the, you know, made up record of most goals after 30. So
made up. It is a bit of a made up record. Like, who picks 30? You know, like,
I'll guarantee you he's got the record for 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, and on. Like, it's amazing the rate that he continues to score at. So what do you think? How many tonight?
Well, I predicted two last night, and I was one shy. So I'm going to predict two again because I want him to continue to score one. Mm-hmm. If I predict one, he won't get any. But he needs a big game. He needs a 2 or 3 goal game at some point. He doesn't.
He needs 4 goals.
I know, but he needs one of those games so that we can look at the schedule and have a little bit more time. Like, if he goes into a 3 or 4 game drought right now, we're going to be stressing that it may not happen. I want him to get one of those, a 2-goal game tonight, and all of a sudden, like, we are making plans. Like, we know when it's going to happen. Betting sites are going to say, when is Ovechkin breaking the record? You can bet on that game. You can bet on that game. Gretzky's going to be around. Ovi's wife is now following him around. She was at the game last night in Boston. She's following the chase, right? So I want Gretzky to join. I hope it happens soon because it's going to, you know, help the drama.
It's over on Friday. They play the Hawks at home. Good night.
Well, tell that to Spencer Knight or Arvid.
Look at his numbers. Spencer's Knight is like every other Chicago goalie now. Everything looks terrible because of the team. It's
after
that simple.
A great
I couldn't
start.
Believe his save percentage. When I looked at it today, I'm like, oh, that's tough.
He had a great start, and then he had a couple of games where it didn't go his way. And you're right, Chicago is terrible. Sure, yeah. That could be it. But if I can guarantee you, if Ovechkin scores two against Carolina tonight, yes, the party is on Friday at home against Chicago.
And if not, well, after Chicago, it's the New York Islanders who've lost six in a row right now and apparently are backtracking right out of the Eastern Conference wildcard race.
Well, you know, cats have nine lives, and the Islanders seem to have had 15 lives, but they're running out of lives right now. It was not a good game against the Tampa Bay Lightning yesterday. Sorokin looks tired, and look, he's tired. He's played so many games.
Well, they've missed Varley for sure, right?
They missed Varlamov because that duo has been so good for many years, and it has helped Sorokin. And look, that was the same, maybe the same argument is to be made with Swayman in Boston. Swayman was so good with Allmark, and now he misses Allmark. But look, he's gotten Corpusello there. Sorokin has Hogberg there, and you know they don't want to play Hogberg, so they keep playing Sorokin, and he looks like he's done.
Yeah, so again, we'll revisit the Eastern Conference race when we come back. Obviously, Montreal took a huge step forward with the late-game heroics against Florida. Columbus kept pace with their lopsided win over Nashville. And in the West, man, oh man, the Blues did it again. So we'll dive into that when we come back. A reminder right now, as we await Buffalo back in action this weekend with two home games on Saturday and Sunday, the Rick Martin Memorial Award is up for your votes right now on Sabres.com. So we encourage you to vote for this year's winner. It's awarded to the player who best embodies on-ice excellence, resilience, and dedication to the community. You can visit Sabres.com/Rico to vote today. Let's go Blues continues to be the chant around the NHL. We're back after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We are back, and Buffalo is in action this weekend with a pair of home games, Tampa Saturday, Boston on Sunday.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Getting healthy on a budget can be tough, but that's where Nourish comes in. Nourish connects you with a registered dietitian for expert nutrition advice without the high cost. The best part? 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket since Nourish works with hundreds of insurance plans like Blue Cross Blue Shield, Aetna, and United. Meet with your dietitian online from home or message them through the Nourish app for extra support. Staying healthy has never been this affordable. Match with your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
But the big story across the NHL continues to be the St. Louis Blues. Marty, how did they do it? They ripped the hearts out of the Red Wings in the final minute of play, final half minute, thanks to Jordan Kyrou, and then promptly won it in overtime for their 10th consecutive win. They've outscored their opponents 41-14 in the 10-game win streak. They are 17-2-2 in the last 21, and this is the longest win streak since their 11-game surge in the 18-19 season that propelled them to their first-ever Stanley Cup.
They got Jobu. You guys know the movie Major League when Serrano says Jobu. They have a Jobu doll in a stall that travels with them all the time since the Four Nations face-off, and it's been unbelievable. And nothing more than Jobu-like is the Jordan Kyrou tie-in goal. 6-on-5, 29 seconds left. He gets the puck. He's looking to pass it across the crease to the back door, but he kind of, it rolls off his heel. Cam Talbot is expecting a pass to the back door, so he's kind of reacting to it, and it goes 5-0 and beats him. It's not the play. He's not trying to get it on net. He's trying to go back door, and he fanned on it, and it goes right 5-0, and they score, and they win it no tee. So that's Jabu-like, just like it was Gloria back in 1819.
Amazing. It's truly amazing. And we were there in St. Louis when, right after Cam Fowler was acquired by the Ducks, from the Ducks, pardon me. And if you ever want to, I don't even know how to phrase this. This is like, Cam Fowler is now an incredible case study of perception versus reality, based on environment and things beyond one's control.
Yeah.
He got stuck in Anaheim after joining when they were decent, and then a career of losing. People would just continually, it's not that good. It's not that good. They're never going to be able to move him. Not that good. Didn't live up to the hype. These are some things that were said. Some inside the game obviously continued to respect Cam, but it seemed like he was almost destined to a fate of never having moments like this. But it's not just last night's overtime goal. He has been one of the best defensemen in the NHL since he was acquired by the Blues in mid-December. He has 9 goals. He had 0 with the Ducks. He has 30 points. His plus is off the charts. And by the way, the Blues have been playing without their best defenseman for the last month in Colton Parayko.
Yeah, it's...
Cam Fowler's story is, it's inspiring. I love it. I hope every player gets to redo at that stage as a 33-year-old and maybe undo some of the stuff that followed him beyond his control.
I'm sure John Gibson is saying, why can't I be Cam Fowler?
Right?
But the Anaheim Ducks had a bit of a down time, but, you know, they are rebuilding. And look, the Ducks have had a good season. It's just like it was coming to a point where they needed to maybe move a player because it was better for that person, better for the organization. And Cam Fowler in St. Louis has been great. And his goal in OT, great hands, comes in, goes to the back end. And, yeah, St. Louis now, I mean, they are right there. I say ahead of Minnesota, but when I look at the Central Division, they're 5 points behind Colorado. Do I think they're going to catch Colorado? No. But if they had any type of good first half to the season or start to the year, they'd be in the top three, top two in the Central Division.
Cam Fowler was in the playoffs 6 times at the front end of his career and then nothing since 17. And I will dare say this, not unlike Rasmus Ristolainen here.
Yeah.
Had some seasons where he put up impressive numbers, but there was no way you were going
minus
to
minus 35 because the team was bad.
Exactly. Yeah. Some of these things that still stand out because they are still used regularly on the stat line across an NHL player sheet. So
yeah, no, and look. Teams make trades, and sometimes players in those trades do well. I mean, that's the common theme around the NHL now. Buffalo, every time they trade a player, they do well. Give me a break. Like, it happens everywhere. That's why teams make trades, because they're hoping they can acquire players that's going to fit well, get energized, and play well. It happens. the reverse exists as well. There's some trades that don't go well, and there's some trades that traded players out of Buffalo that have not performed well. It's just, it's normal. It happens everywhere. Look at Kuzmenko with the Kings, right?
Dude, like, do you know what I just typed in on Hockey Reference?
Kuzmenko.
As you were saying this.
Because Kuzmenko, who started in Calgary, he had an unbelievable season with Vancouver, his first in the NHL. It didn't pay off. He goes to Calgary, gets traded to Philly, gets moved to LA, and he had a massive impact in the game yesterday. And he's got, what, four goals in 14 games, maybe? He's
nine
got like
points, nine four points. Goals in 14 games, playing on the top line pretty much from the get-go.
And it's unbelievable. So, yeah, you talk about players, they get traded, and sometimes they find a good opportunity. It happens all the time.
The reason I had to look up Kuzmenko last night and again right now is because my brain is not allowing me to believe that it was only two seasons ago that he scored 39 goals as an old rookie in the NHL. Mm-hmm. We're not even Calder eligible because of his age. He's played, it feels like he's played on a million teams since.
Yeah.
He was good when he went
this year.
He was good when he went to Calgary in the deal where Vancouver was basically like, we're probably not going to be able to sign him. Plus, we're going to go all in on these trades with Lindholm and Zadorov. So Calgary takes him. He scores 14 times in 29 games.
It's good.
Pretty good. And then this year got off to a slow start. Like, it couldn't have been slower. Four goals in 37 games.
But even in Philly, he had seven. He had 5 points in seven games. Like, it's not like he was bad in Philly.
Exactly.
But they moved on, and, you know, that's fine. But Kuzmenko is one of those guys that his smile after his goal yesterday, I'm like, okay. Like, sometimes you just need a little bit of a different scenario. And who was the poster child for that this year was Mikko Rantanen. It looked miserable for him in Carolina. Like, he didn't even look like himself. And then he goes to Dallas and he has a hot start. And now it's, you know, whatever. But
there's,
you know,
still Mikko a lot Rantanen of room, like, for him to get back to Rantanen.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Well, Rantanen playing with, you know, McKinnon is, and having Makar is different, right? We saw Natchez in Colorado, and Natchez is hot. Well, why? Because you're with McKinnon, it helps.
He's a good player. He was having his best season, you know.
He was leading the league, right, in scoring early in the season.
Yeah, it was him and Kaprizov were battling it out. Like, how crazy was that, right? So, yeah, there are a lot of in-season acquisitions that probably didn't get much attention that right now are paying off handsomely. I mean, I all due respect, I'm not expecting this to continue, but if he turns into, like, I don't know, one of these playoff folklore heroes, Mark Jankowski with the Carolina Hurricanes, he's got 7 goals in 10 games with the Canes since coming from Nashville. Like, this is impossible to predict.
Who's going to score tonight, Jankowski or Ovechkin?
Odds
Who would you bet on an anytime goal scorer?
Taylor Hall has been a good fit in Carolina. But I will say this. There are a couple others that I want to... Well, we've talked about it before, but it's still crazy when you think of where Colorado has always been expectation-wise. The fact that they remade their goaltending tandem in season. Wedgewood is now 10-4-1. With a 919 save percentage, and Mackenzie Blackwood is 21-9-3 with also a 919 save percentage. Yeah. Like, who does this? And they traded Rantanen and brought in Natchez, who's a point a game, and all the other depth pieces that they brought in. It's wild.
Yeah, no, it's wild, and it's good, you know, scouting, good research, and knowing when to pull the trigger, right? Mm-hmm. You have Mackenzie Blackwood in San Jose. San Jose, understand, they're not going anywhere. And you're like, okay, well, let's make it happen. Let's see if we can have a deal in place. And then they make the trade for Wedgewood. And we all know what Wedgewood has been like. But the Colorado Avalanche have had some of these moments over the last few years where they've been able to find a player, to find somebody that would... Nazem Kadri, right? He was a perfect fit for them. Helped them win a Stanley Cup. Why? Because you find the players that work and you pull the trigger at the right time. That goalie those two goalie transactions for Colorado were huge earlier in the year.
I'll give you a hint. He's a defenseman, and he may actually be my favorite in-season acquisition this year.
He's a defenseman, Eastern or Western Conference?
He was in the West, now in the East.
Did he play last night?
Yes, he did.
He played last night. He was in the West, now
it won't affect you, but he's a right shot defenseman.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that won't affect me at this moment. I'm looking to see, like, who had impact last night in a significant way.
I don't know if it was last night significantly. You asked if he played. He did play last night. This is riveting. Thank you.
No, I know. I'm looking at my notes and seeing if there's a name that pops up, and I don't see anything. And the one guy that was an in-season acquisition was Jake Walman. He's a lefty shot because he scored down the left wing yesterday for the Oilers to give him a big win in Vegas. So that was huge, but that's not the guy you're talking about.
No. He is with Columbus.
Oh, well, just say it because now I'm going
to... Dante Fabro.
Dante Fabro.
Waivers. Yes. And now I would say finally, that might be unfair to his previous body of work, but he is now playing like the first round pick he was coming out of Boston University.
When he scored last night, when I saw Dante Fabro, that he had a goal late in the second period, I thought Nashville had scored at first because I didn't realize... Oh, yeah, that's right. Fabro is now with Columbus because of the waiver pickup and everything. But that actually ended the night for UC Soros. He finished that second period, and then he was gonzo.
Dante Fabro has 22 points in 53 games and is a plus 21. You take the latter stat for whatever you want to make of it, but he has been, obviously, they didn't give anything up. That's kind of what makes him, to me, the best in-season acquisition.
Remember all the years
we spent, like, talking, is Fabro going to get signed? Is Fabro going to get traded? Everybody should want Dante Fabro. And then it was like, not really doing that much in Nashville. And, like, wow, what an impact he's had. So
I still think, like, when you look at defense acquisition and, you know, players that have an impact on their team and a really good impact, like, look at Sean Durzi with the Utah Hockey Club. And I know it's been a tough season with his injury, but with him in the lineup, it's different, right? Like, he had an assist last night. He is a potentially a 40-point guy, regularly if he plays pretty much all season. Yep. This year's been tough. He's only played 23 games. But that is one that when he left L.A. to go to Arizona and now Utah, it's like, ooh, that's a good player they let go in L.A.
Yeah, well... The Kings obviously haven't suffered at all in the loss of Durzi because the one constant is Anze Kopitar, who has once again gone over 60 points for the 16th time in his 19-year career. And the only other times he didn't make it, lockout year, COVID year, and the one down season of his career when he had 52, only to respond with a Hart Trophy finalist season the next year. It's absolutely amazing. This guy is so good at everything.
Do you think Dreisaitl put a nail in the Hart conversation last night? Like, you know, they go into Vegas. They need a win. No McDavid still. He gets his 52nd.
I mean, he should have been there already. I agree. Like, I mean,
Connor Hellebuyck is having a great season, and a lot of people think he's probably right there. But I think Dreisaitl last night, once again, was like, okay, we need a big goal here, 5-on-3, give me the puck, I'll put it in the net, and we'll win this game.
Yeah. He's amazing. He is absolutely amazing. And the standings in the Western Conference are wild. Like, how about the run for St. Louis now has them in wild card one? It's the highest they've been since October. And now Minnesota is like, you know, you said it yesterday, like Calgary's going to need a miracle based on they don't have the tiebreaker. But they do have a game in hand on Minnesota. And if the Wild lose to the Rangers tonight, they're six back with two in hand.
With two games in hand. So they could move into like close to 2 points. And that's why I say Vancouver's done. Calgary has a maybe a chance to get there. But, man, you need to score more than one goal if you're the Calgary Flames. And last night they lose 3-1, right, because they couldn't score more than one goal.
Yeah, amazing. Big game potentially for the Amerks tonight. They are home and looking to clinch a playoff spot. We'll dive in on their roster, which has some news to it when we come back here on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres reassigned Isaac Rosén to Rochester today. Upon returning home from their trip, Rosén will be in the lineup as the Amerks can clinch a playoff spot with a regulation win against Springfield. They are 4-0-1 in the last five. We might well see Tyler Kopp getting his first game with the Amerks as well, as he was recently signed by the Sabres out of college. So we'll look to that and obviously continue to keep our eyes on Noah Ostlund. Thank you for praising him yesterday the way I have been praising him of late.
Isn't
you gave me great hope.
Surprising, though, that he's the only player in the top 21 pick of the 2022 draft that have not played a game in the NHL yet. Yeah. And I get it. Like, you know, some players get opportunities different times. The growth is different. But with what he's been able to be to do in Rochester, it's not going to be a year plus before he gets an opportunity to play in the NHL for sure.
Well, it might be numbers-wise, I mean, and depth chart-wise, but I would say that there's always the potential for change due to injury, and it would sure be nice to have this player at this level right now be able to come up and take advantage of an opportunity if that presents itself. But we are a long ways, as you like to say, from night one next year. So we'll see how the summer plays out and see exactly how they stack up down the middle. But Ostlund's been what was he? He was player of the week. He was rookie of the month. You know, it's just been a all situations impressive.
All around impressive.
Sadly, as we do a fill in the blank for producer Jeff, Val Kilmer has passed away. He will be most remembered for blank.
So this is interesting. I was a huge Val Kilmer fan, like obviously Top Gun, right? I think Top Gun, Iceman, that would be what Val Kilmer will be most remembered for him for. The movie The Doors, as he plays Jim Morrison in the movie, that was incredible performance. Batman, he was, some people liked him in Batman. It was okay. I believe that was the one with Uma Thurman and Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Poison Ivy. Was that the one? Jeff is saying no. Okay,
well,
thank you, Jeff.
I'm going to lean on Jeff here.
Yeah, but for me, like a movie that Val Kilmer probably won't be remembered for, but I loved, was the movie The Saint, late 90s. Val Kilmer, Elizabeth Shue, that movie was incredible. So one of those undercover movies that won't make the list, but I think Val Kilmer was a talented actor and sad, 65. He was young.
Five games tonight. We talked about Ovechkin and the Hurricanes. You think Ovi's getting one. What do you think between Florida, who are thankful to be done with Montreal, and they are at Toronto, and the Panthers now need this one, I think, to keep their push for first in the Atlantic alive.
Yeah, they do need that game because you look at the standings right now, Toronto seems to be taking off a little bit, and Tampa is, you know, won again last night. So, yeah, Florida needs that. Florida, for me, it's about the playoffs. It's about when they get to the playoffs.
Yeah, their roster's still a little depleted, one could say, in the absence of Tkachuk and Ekblad. We'll see you tomorrow on Sabres Live.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.